The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.' When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your Lord. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Say what you want about the Jewish scriptures, but they instruct us in how to live. The instruction comes a lot of ways. It comes through stories. We hear of people in the Bible, like us, who have lived faithfully and unfaithfully. Instruction comes through the preaching of the prophets, who stood up in complicated situations to tell the truth about God and God's wishes for people. Sometimes the instruction comes in little bite-sized sayings called proverbs, deep wisdom compressed into small nuggets. And as we hear today, instruction also comes through commandments. "Thus says the Lord," and there it is, "you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not defraud your neighbor." Any questions? God speaks directly, sometimes imparting a word through Moses. And this teaching, this Torah, is all for our well-being. It is a gift from God so that God's people will flourish. As we heard Moses declare last week, "Do these things and you will live abundantly." Yet stuck in the middle of the commandments that we hear today from Leviticus is one that simply sparkles for me. Stands out. It seems different from the rest. I would say this is my all-time favorite Jewish commandment. In case you miss it, it goes like this: "Thou shalt not curse the deaf." If you have ears to hear, let that sink in. It names a specific human condition, a disability. Stealing, lying, and defrauding can be done by anyone to anyone, and they're done every day. Sabbath breakers and idol makers come in all shapes and sizes, but to single out the deaf is curious, to say the least, and we don't know why. Is it because by accident or physical decline they cannot hear the word of the Lord? Moses doesn't say. But the reason it's one of my favorites is because of what I detect, a trace of Jewish comedy. Thou shalt not curse the deaf. Someone said, well, why not? They can't hear you anyway. Taken like that, it's ridiculous. But maybe not. And you know why. A few months ago, my wife and I were heading down to the grocery store. I'm looking for a parking space. I see two men walking toward the store from the parking lot, probably a father and son. Neither is paying attention. Certainly not paying attention to me. They're walking down the middle of the lane. The son is fiddling with his cell phone, not looking around. The father is waddling slowly. In the time that I pulled up behind them, I lost two premium parking spaces that were right in front of me. My impatience in moments like that is legendary. I start talking with an emphatic voice. The windows rolled up, of course. Come on, I say. Get a move on. Let's get going. And the two of them plod along. Finally, they go on. I zip around them. I say to my wife, you ever feel like you want to lay on the horn? Well, she is much kinder than me and says nothing. So we park the car, walk into the store, get a cart, start pushing it down the aisle, and a few minutes later, that same father and son wander in, and they walk right down the middle of the aisle. You can't get around them. They park it there, and pretty soon people are backed up. I start thinking of some wisecrack I can make when the son turns to the father and begins to communicate in sign language. The father responds with his hands, and with that, my very wise wife says, I don't think it would have done any good if you honked the horn. And I felt pretty small. The reason I felt small was not merely because I had discovered a disability. It was because I had already demeaned them in my heart as children of God. That's how the whole commandment plays out. You shall not curse the deaf, for I am the Lord your God. Got to figure out what the connection is. Well, the connection's simple. It is God in whose image we are made who is the standard for our conduct. That is, you don't curse the deaf because God is God and God made that person in the divine image. Which might be why in the same verse, verse 14, it goes on to extend the same sort of prohibition for how we treat those with another disability. You shall not curse the deaf, neither shall you put a stumbling block before the blind. Fear the Lord, for I am your God. 14 times in this chapter of commandments, we have the refrain, I am the Lord your God. It is a persistent drumbeat throughout this text. And it teaches us very clearly that all ethical action is grounded in God's identity and God's authority. Now, it's true, if you are reviling the deaf, you are cursing them behind their backs. And if you are rearranging the furniture for those who cannot see, it is an act of cruelty. That is true enough, but it is this deeper spiritual dimension that makes the Bible more than a mere rule book. The character of God determines what our character is called to be. The way God is determines what we are called to become. Jesus says as much in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Well, how can he say that? Because that is precisely what God does. God loves his enemies and sends the prophets and finally Jesus to the enemies who are resisting God. Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. How can he say that? Because that's precisely what Jesus does on the cross. He prays for those who persecute him and says, God, forgive them. And then he looks at us, lest we think we can find a loophole, and says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The character of God determines what we are called to be. And do you know where Jesus gets all of this? Right here, Leviticus chapter 19, in the theme verse for the entire chapter, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So we move quickly a long distance from not cursing the deaf to being holy. Or to frame it as a question, what does not cursing the deaf have to do with being holy? I mean, we all have our opinions about what holiness looks like, what someone told us it looks like. There was a kid in my high school, he went to a church called a holiness church. He wondered what that meant. Well, I'll tell you what it meant. It meant he wasn't allowed to smoke, he wasn't allowed to drink, he wasn't allowed to stay out late at night, he wasn't allowed to date until he was 42, he wasn't allowed to hang around with kids like me diagnosed as troublesome. In other words, straight and narrow, never have any fun. Meanwhile, this is the same kid who dated a cheerleader secretly and said, don't tell my folks. It is the same kid who handed a shoebox full of pot to a classmate and said, can you hide this from my family? Same kid who brought the tequila and the beer to the high school football party. And when his parents found out about the secret girlfriend, he felt nothing else he could do but to end up marrying her. Is that what holiness is all about? Well, to read Leviticus, it's about keeping the commandments. Now, we think we know what that means, too. Make a checklist of all the commandments and check the boxes. Keep the Sabbath. Check. Don't worship other gods. Check. Leave your vegetables, your extra vegetables in the garden so the poor can come after dark and get something to eat. Check. Pay the wages of your workers on time. Check. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Check, check. In the history of keeping commandments like these, there are a lot of people who have made the lists, and they love to do the things on the list, because then they can feel superior to those who don't even know there's a list. Or they can hold themselves higher than those who try to keep the list but keep falling short. And as I have said to you many times, if we reduce the whole Christian life to items on a list, we sure don't need God, because we have a list. Somehow, I don't think that's what holiness is all about. So what does it mean to be holy as God is holy? What does it mean to be perfect as God is perfect? I think I know, because it's here in the text. In chapter 19 of Leviticus, it is almost in every single verse. It doesn't have to do with checking the boxes, and it's not about cardboard obedience or moral superiority. No, it's about growing into the character of God, about having the same mind as Christ our Lord. And in a word, holiness is love. Love leads us into holiness. Holiness leads us into love. It's written throughout the entire chapter. When you reap the harvest of the land, says the Lord, don't take everything out of it. Don't strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes for you and you alone. No, restrain yourself. and leave God's abundance for the poor and the outsider, for I am the Lord your God. Now that's love. And it is totally contrary to the economic notion that we should plunder all the land for our own profit and benefit while some of the children of the Lord are going hungry. That text is over 3,000 years old. We still can't quite get it right. It's because our love is not complete, it's not perfect, it's not holy. Love leads us into holiness, holiness leads us into love, and they cannot be separated. Or that famous line, the single commandment that St. Paul said is the summary of all the other commandments in the Bible. Now, he was a Bible scholar, so he should have known. You know the words. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. This is the place, the only place, where that appears spelled out in the entire Jewish scripture, Leviticus 19, verse 18. But take note of where it appears. It's the second half of the verse. The first half says, and you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your own people. Well, back it up one more verse. You will not hate in your heart anybody of your own kin. Now, wait a second. You mean that there's difficulty in our families? That people in the same family can hate one another? This is the context of the law, loving your neighbor as yourself. If there's no love, there cannot be holiness. Now, our closest neighbors are those in our families. Holiness means loving them. A few years ago, I came across an article in the Atlantic Monthly. For all of you romantics on the Sunday after Valentine's Day, it's about an article about why relations either break down or why they thrive. Based on research about marriage, but it's really about all kinds of relationships. Why do they flourish or why do they die? Listen. The number one factor that tears couples apart is contempt. People who are focused on criticizing their partners miss a whopping 50% of positive things their partners are doing, and they see negativity even when it's not there. People who give their partner the cold shoulder, either deliberately ignoring them or responding minimally, damage their relationship by making their partner feel worthless and invisible, as if they're not there, as if they're not valued. And people who treat their partners with contempt and criticize them not only kill the love in the relationship, they also kill their partner's ability to fight off viruses and cancers. Being mean is the death knell of relationships. But listen to this. Kindness, on the other hand, glues couples together. Research shows that kindness, along with emotional stability, is the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability. Kindness makes each partner feel cared for, understood, validated, feel loved. As Shakespeare's Juliet says, my bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love is deep, the more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite. That's how kindness works too. There's evidence that shows that the more someone receives or witnesses kindness, the more they will be kind themselves, which only leads to upward spirals of love and generosity. Contempt or kindness, it's the difference between death and life. Thou shalt not curse the deaf. It's not too far to conclude from that, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the Bible's view of holiness in this chapter. To love others as God loves the world and all who dwell within it. both friends and enemies. Love and of God and love of neighbor are held together in the possibility of human holiness. Or as an early church teacher declared, love one another. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. But as for me, it's February, so I draw on the words of Harlem poet Langston Hughes. In dated words, he gives us the timeless truth that holiness can never be separated from love. Listen. I dream a world where man no other man will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth and everyone is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy like a pearl attends the needs of all our kind. Of such I dream my world.